morning. It is time to get up with sudden intrigue at the very top. Less than a week to the draft, Washington at number two is creating chaos while lurking directly below. The Patriots tell us their plans. We'll tell you why there's no way they're being for real. Plus, here they go again. The King, the Joker. Stephen A. will tell you why this could wind up being the biggest series of LeBron James' career. I'm not kidding. Let's do this thing, people. It's a Friday and a show. Our squad is ready to roll. We've got a good group put together here. As you can see, we got the hoops, we got the football, we got the Hall of Famer Kurt Warner joining the conversation as we go, along with Jeff Darlington's insight. And Dominique Foxworth is back and better than ever. We start with the football because we are 6 days away from the NFL draft and speculation about the number two overall pick continues. Quarterback Jaden Daniels met with the Vikings last night, a day after the Commanders hosted Daniels, along with Drake May, J.J. McCarthy, and Michael Penix Jr. That was a move that did not sit well with Daniels' camp. Listen to Adam Schefter yesterday.
You have one now? I have both those.
Well, it didn't seem to go over too well with the agent for Jaden Daniels, Ron Butler, who sounded off on social media last night that he didn't seem particularly pleased with the process. I think Jaden Daniels thought it would be a visit with just him, meeting with the Commanders. Many people think that Jaden Daniels will wind up being the number two overall pick, but the Commanders essentially opened up the process.
Okay, adding to the intrigue, the odds for the number two overall pick have been all over the place. It started with Drake May as the favorite back in February. Daniels overtook him as the favorite, but listen to this. His odds were as short as minus 350 at noon yesterday. By 5 p.m., Daniels' odds moved to minus 180. As of this morning, the odds are minus 125. As we say in the business, it gets curiouser and curiouser. Jeff Darlington, pick it up here, my man. What are we to make of the fact that the Commanders bring this entire group of people in there? All of a sudden, now Daniels is meeting with the Vikings 6 days from the draft, and Vegas has decided that this thing has become much, much tighter.
Well, Greeny, I'm going to tell you exactly what Adam Peters, the Commanders general manager, told the media yesterday. He said, "We feel great about staying at number two. I don't see a lot of scenarios where we trade down, to be honest with you. We feel great staying there." So, of course, though, let's point out the caveat here. When it comes to the draft, if someone tells you something, it means they trust you not to repeat it or they're lying. So it's very difficult to really understand exactly what anybody is saying this time of year. I think we can establish, though, in the wake of that meeting, personally, I do believe that the Commanders know who they are drafting, which quarterback they are taking. They made clear that they still have to go through their medical, their final medical checks with the team doctors to make sure that their guys do pass all of those tests. That hay is in the barn now, though. I believe the Commanders know who they're drafting. I also believe we probably won't know until next Thursday.
Okay, all that is fair enough, and that's good. But hey, Mike T, there's never a better time for us to have you than right now. And again, Mike was the general manager in two different places during the course of your career. And I agree with Jeff, and I know you would co-sign this. Never believe what the GMs are saying this time of year. Just watch what they're doing.
Right.
Why did they bring four quarterback prospects into their building yesterday?
I think just to cross T's and dot I's, Greeny. Look, I'm sure they know who they're going to take. But look, if we were running a franchise, I'd like to see, hey, who's the alpha of the group? When they're all together, who stands out? So I don't think that's outcome determinative, but it's interesting information to have and something that they've done before in previous organizations. As it relates to the lying, absolutely. Don't believe anything any GM is saying. I'm certainly an expert in that this time of year. So I do find it interesting that the odds have changed because obviously someone thinks they know something different today than maybe yesterday. But I got to think at this point, Washington knows what they're doing.
Yeah, that's the part of this that I find so complicated. They have two second-round picks. They have any number of other, business to be attending to and holes to fill. So to spend this volume of time on bringing in all these guys, if a decision has already been made, I just find that a very curious way to go about allocating this very precious resource.
Yeah, so one thing though, Greeny, that decision to bring those guys in was probably made 3 to 4 weeks ago because this time of year, there's a crunch on logistics where as we saw, Jaden Daniels met with Minnesota in Baton Rouge. Like, so that decision was probably made a couple weeks ago, and maybe it was for the owner, maybe it was for somebody else to say, hey, we feel good about it, but just to make sure that player X, if we're worried about his intangibles, let's see how he acts in front of his peers.
Listen, Jaden Daniels meeting with the Vikings yesterday, the timing of that may be purely coincidental to your point about these things all getting done in advance, or maybe not. Dominique, none of this passes the smell test to me. What do you think of it?
Yeah, I know Peter said he's not interested in a trade, but I think the only reason to bring everyone in is to suggest that you have not fully made your decision. This alpha test that Mike T is talking about seems like some kind of foolishness. I don't think anyone's actually going to put a bunch of guys in the room and then see who comes out alive or whatever they're trying to figure out to see who's the toughest, the biggest leadery man of all the leadery men. That doesn't seem like it works, but I do think that when you're getting this close to the draft, you're allowed these visits, so why not use them? And also, I think it helps to be able to see people, understand that they are still healthy and alive, they haven't lost a bunch of weight, there's no curves coming, they haven't done something absurd with their free time. If you give me a chance to meet the quarterback prospects again, quarterbacks that I may have to play against or a quarterback that I may draft, I'm going to take that opportunity and try to get as much information from all of those players as possible. But I do not think that there's going to be any like opinions changed or decisions made based on who out alphas the next guy, because you're making for a real weird visit when you just show it four guys and say, hey, I want to see who's most alpha. And then yeah. You walk out the room and see what happens. I don't know what kind of test that is.
Strikes me as a very dicey way to make a decision of this magnitude. But here's where it does make sense to me. I'm going to take the things that have been said here and put them together. All right? Jeff Darlington said, it seems impossible to believe they haven't made up their minds who they like best. I agree with that. They've known Caleb Williams was not going to be an option for a long time. They've had a lot of time to make this decision. Here's where all of this makes sense to me. If what they've decided on is that their guy isn't someone who you have to use a number two pick in the draft to take, that's where this makes sense to me, Mike T. And that's why it makes sense to me that you've got Minnesota involved and all of he's meeting there, because maybe they're going to trade up. If the guy you want is someone you don't have to use the second pick to take, how cute can you afford to get?
Not very. Two words. Be careful, Greeny. I've sat there. Just this discussion alone gives me angst, because I have been there. When you trade back and you go back two spots, Greeny, you better love two guys. And you could actually ask the team to say, hey, who are you taking? And at that point, there is usually honor where they say, hey, we're going to go take Jaden Daniels, and we love J.J. McCarthy, let's say. So I understand we'd rather have J.J. McCarthy and an extra second-round pick. That makes sense. But don't get too cute, because all of a sudden, if you go back too far, hey, maybe New England gets a call that they can't refuse, and that would make me extremely nervous if I was Washington.
Jeff.
I have known Adam Peters for 15 years, okay? I know he is an alpha in his own right, but I just cannot imagine him, knowing him like I do, that he would step out on a limb and get this cute in his first decision as the general manager, by the way, under the leadership of a new owner. I just cannot picture him getting that cute when he holds the second overall pick. I believe he takes the quarterback that he wants at that spot. End of story.
Okay, I would agree with that if the quarterback that he wants is either Drake May or Jaden Daniels. If the quarterback he wants is J.J. McCarthy.
You've got to just take him.
Or I get it. But if the quarterback you want is J.J. McCarthy, or if the quarterback you really want is Michael Penix, then you definitely don't have to use the second pick in the draft on him. Or we wouldn't think you have to use it. Well, let's put it this way. Jeff, you're rolling your eyes at me. If Roger Goodell steps up there
last night
and says, with the second pick in the NFL draft, the Washington Commanders select Michael Penix Jr. out of Washington, what will you say?
No, I look, I'm not rolling my eyes at you. I have anxiety even thinking about him making that decision. And by the way, San Francisco went through this when it was when they traded up and it was between Trey Lance and Mac Jones. They went through this whole thing where people were saying, like, you can't take that guy at that spot.
Right.
They endured that. He was with John Lynch through that. I just get anxiety thinking about him going through those steps when they already hold the pick that can get them any quarterback other than Caleb Williams.
Right. Well, look how well it worked out in San Francisco. Well, maybe not as well. Okay, Dominique, jump in here. What do you think of all of this? If, look,
yeah,
if you watch Michael Penix play football.
I agree that you...
Yeah. Go ahead, Nate. Go.
I agree that you'll get criticized if you draft him way earlier than anyone suggests that you should draft him. And that's something that it comes with the job. You won't get criticized if you're right 5-6 years from now. I think Josh Allen comes to mind as someone who was drafted much higher than any of us expected. And we all were pretty critical of that draft pick. And look at the Bills now. So I think that you can't be playing for the short-term win. The day after the draft, I want everyone to give me an A+ on the draft. You have to be playing for the future of your franchise. And if you think that you know how to evaluate quarterbacks, then you're probably better than most GMs are in football. And frankly, most football people are. But if you think that you got the right guy, it doesn't matter where other people project him. You need to get him on your roster. It's not going to be worth it to add an extra second round pick next year if you end up with the wrong quarterback or you miss out on the quarterback. So just because no one else believes that Michael Penix should go that high or whoever you think should go that high, it shouldn't matter. You draft a guy that you think is right for your spot, and then you deal with the repercussions.
Look, the five names you see on your screen don't include Michael Penix, so Scouts Inc. considers him a prospect behind Bo Nix. There are many people who have him ahead of Bo Nix, who's coming out of Oregon now. But here's the thing I want to make clear for the audience or people who don't know this. If it weren't for the injury history, and Michael Penix has a significant and concerning injury history as far as the NFL is concerned, if it weren't for that, he would be everything else about him puts him directly in the mix with any of the quarterbacks in this class.
Greedy, 1,000%. If we just watch those six quarterbacks throw, he has the best arm, period, hard stop. And in fairness to Michael Penix, his last 2 years, he's been healthy. Now, with that said, you can't ignore double ACLs, but he has extraordinary ability. He's going the first round. I had him mock 16 to the Rams and Matt Stafford's replacement. That's how good of an arm he has. So in fairness to Michael Penix, he, when it's all said and done, he may have the most upside of any of these guys.
Yeah, look, I mean, he 13 to the Raiders. Oh. There's a lot of different places they could go. And so if you're the Commanders and you have fallen in love with him, that's where this thing gets interesting to me. We're going to hear for the Patriots coming up in a minute as well. They've told you what they plan to do. We'll tell you why you should not believe them at all. We'll also get into this, the Bills' replacement plan for Stephon Diggs. You'll hear what their GM and what Josh Allen has to say about what he needs. Plus, the Mile High sequel gets underway tomorrow night. Lakers, Nuggets. Does LeBron actually have a better chance of beating Denver now than he did last season? Legs and Allen answer that question and more. We're just getting started. Get up on ESPN.
Dell Tech Fest starts now. To thank you for 40 unforgettable years, Dell Technologies is celebrating with anniversary savings on their most popular tech. For a limited time only, save on select next-gen PCs like the XPS 13 Plus, where you can make the everyday easier with Windows 11. Unleash more possibilities with cutting-edge systems, their most advanced features, and great prices. Plus, curate your dream setup with deals on select monitors, mice, and more must-have electronics and accessories. When you shop online at Dell.com/deals, you'll have access to state-of-the-art technology to match your forward-thinking spirit and free shipping on everything. Anniversary savings await you for a limited time only at Dell.com/deals. That's Dell.com/deals. Shopping for Mother's Day is usually a challenge because you wait until the last minute, but Macy's Gift Finder makes it incredibly fast and easy to find the right gift just in time for Mother's Day. Whether you're shopping for your sister's first Mother's Day or your fashionista mom who loves to make a statement, Macy's Gift Finder has so many great gift ideas that you can easily pick out something special to celebrate them both. You can shop by price, anywhere from $25 and under to $100 and under. You can also sort by category like fragrance, handbags, and more, or gift lists like for the mom who has everything, pre-wrapped gifts or gifts for grandma. Find top brands like Studio Pro Model Beats headphones, Polaroid cameras, and Samsung smart TVs. So what are you waiting for? Mother's Day is May 12th. It'll be here before you know it. Macy's has the perfect gift guide to make picking something for mom easy this year. Head to Macy's.com/giftfinder today. That's Macy's.com/giftfinder. Delicious, meat nutritious, and the snack that packs a real protein punch. Wonderful pistachios, one of the highest protein nuts out there. Each 1 ounce serving has 6 grams of protein, giving you over 10% of your daily value. Wonderful pistachios also come in a variety of flavors and sizes, perfect for enjoying with family and friends or taking them with you on the go. And you're on the go a lot, taking the kids to school, hopping from meeting to meeting, shopping for groceries. Well, the good news is, not only are Wonderful pistachios a complete protein, providing all 9 essential amino acids, they're also great for all your adventures. So whether you're a pistachio purist who loves cracking open every nut, or you prefer the convenience of no-shells pistachios, Wonderful Pistachios has got you covered. Grab Wonderful Pistachios and elevate your snacking game today. Visit WonderfulPistachios.com to learn more.
Get Up is brought to you by McDonald's. And by the Ministry of Ungentlemanly Warfare in theaters April 19th, rated R.
Hi, my name is what? My name is what? My name is
his name's Sadie.
Hi, my name is
what?
My name is what? My name is
his name's Sadie.
Hi, my name is
what?
Excuse me.
The NFL Draft begins Thursday, April 25th on ESPN and ABC.
Yeah, we're going to Detroit. We got Eminem. I see what we did there. Okay, let's spin it ahead. A week from today, we will be done with week one of the NFL draft. I should say round one of the NFL draft. Mike T, what will be our headline Friday morning?
Greedy, you teed up last segment. The LA Rams have their replacement for Matt Stafford. It's Michael Penix Jr., their first round pick since 2016. Again, if he was healthy, Greeny, he'd be a top five pick. He probably has the best arm in this draft, and he could sling it just as good as Matthew Stafford.
Absolutely. Jeff, how about you? Give me the headline a week from this morning.
I'm going the opposite direction. I'm saying that on Friday morning, we're going to be saying, where are Penix and Knicks going? Because they will still be available in the second round. We talked about Penix injury history, Bo Nix also potentially sliding into the second round. Yes, there are teams that need quarterbacks, whether it be the Vikings, maybe even the Giants, but ultimately I don't think that either of those teams are going to jump at those two guys. I could see them sliding into the second round. And by the way, to be clear, that is not an indicator of future success. It's just the way I think that the chips will fall next week.
That's how much uncertainty there is. I'm with you. Dominique, what's the headline going to be?
Hey, I got the Vikings trading up, switching places with the Pats in order to get their quarterback of the future, which I believe will be J.J. McCarthy. So I think this might be a little bit of wishful thinking on my part. I hate how we look at the draft and we look for teams who are looking for a quarterback, not teams that are ready for a quarterback. I think that's more determinative of short-term and long-term success of quarterback. The data suggests that landing in a good situation is the most important. So that's what I'm hoping out of this draft, is all the quarterbacks end up in good situations. It's not just desperate teams grabbing quarterbacks with a lot of talent and then inevitably squandering their careers.
Well, listen, there are so many interesting things about what he just said. One of them being that would make J.J. McCarthy the third player off the board. But as far as the Patriots sitting at number three, their general manager, Elliott Wolf, did not close the door on them moving out of that spot. Here's what he said.
We're open to anything, moving up, moving down. We're open for business in the first round and in every round. We have some holes we feel like we need to fill in the draft, and we're a draft and develop team. The more picks we have, the better.
All right, so that's what Elliott Wolf said. What do you say to that, Tannenbaum?
They are drafting a quarterback this year, Greeny, next year, the year after that, and the year after that. And here's why. When you and I were growing up, we would play with Legos. We would use Crayola crayons. Elliott Wolf was writing quarterback scout reports when he was in the crib. And if he doesn't want to get kicked out of Ron Wolf's large estate, because he was a longtime GM, he's drafting a quarterback. Ron Wolf took a quarterback every year, Greeny. We're going to have Kurt Warner on. 1994, they have some guy named Brett Favre. They have Aaron Brooks of the world, Tim Hasselbeck, Kurt Warner.
Ty Detmer.
They draft Aaron Rodgers. They will take a quarterback every year that Elliott Wolf is in charge. He learned it from his dad, a Hall of Fame GM, and it always worked out for them.
I'm with you on that. It doesn't mean they have to take him at three. Darlington, go.
Right.
Ron Wolf also did something else very famous, the father of Elliot Wolf. He traded for Brett Favre, gave up a first-round pick a year after Favre got drafted. He doesn't just have to take a quarterback to find his franchise guy. He can get creative other ways. Do I think they will take one? Yes. But I still believe Elliot Wolf can put all of the chips still out on the table and make a decision based on who's available, potentially via trade or via draft.
So, Neek, I was intrigued by a lot of different pieces of what you said. One of them would be the Patriots trading back, which I actually would think would be a good move for them based upon your thinking that they're a franchise that needs a lot of things. Maybe they're not ready to put a rookie quarterback in a position to be successful. But you're saying that you believe that quarterback will be J.J. McCarthy. If he goes third, that means either Jaden Daniels or Drake May is sliding past that point. How do you see it?
Yeah, I think that it's probably unlikely that the trade happens, but if it does, I do see J.J. McCarthy as a quarterback that's been consistent with the decision-making that he's shown in college, and I think that's something that they really would like in Minnesota given the offensive background they have there. I think the big play and kind of improv ability that you see from the other quarterbacks who will be remaining, I think is something that works out well, but we go back to that 49ers conversation where we thought they might go get Mac Jones. And Mac Jones and J.J. McCarthy aren't the same, but I think they fall closer in that category of a quarterback that you know is going to read and react, at least the way it was projected back then. I don't think Mac Jones turned into that, but quarterbacks are going to read and react to the defense the way that the coach wants them to do. J.J. McCarthy isn't as much of an improv guy as you see these other quarterbacks. That's why I see him being a better fit for the Vikings, given that they have just
But Greedy, here's my point. You could take the quarterback at three. You don't have to play him. Like we just talked about Green Bay, they drafted Aaron Rodgers. He sat for a couple of years. They have Jacoby Brissett in New England, who I think is an excellent bridge quarterback. So to me, take the quarterback at New England you think have the highest upside. To me, that could be Drake May. And then don't play him from day one. There's no reason to play the player, but you have to draft him and get the development process started.
Neek is so dismayed by your take that he unfroze himself in order to be able to respond. I mean, go ahead, Neek.
It's just that you're asking this team to demonstrate a level of patience that we've never seen. Because that's what happens. Yeah. You draft a first-round quarterback. Unless you are the Chiefs who are balling out of control, then you're going to stink, and your quarterback is going to get thrown into action sooner than he's ready. Then his career is going to be ruined because he's not going to have the time to develop or the support around him. So, like, that's my thought. Maybe you can draft a quarterback and sit him, but I don't see that's the way it's going to work. We haven't really seen that work anywhere in the league unless you have a great quarterback already there like Aaron Rodgers.
Yeah. Jeff, go.
Yeah, Mike sounds like every GM in April. I mean, he's speaking like his old self. Every single time the quarterback winds up playing, the GM gets behind the lectern and says, we're going to sit this guy until he's ready. And guess what? He's always ready in week one.
Well, or that. The same general manager comes back and fires the coach in the fall because he didn't have the quarterback ready to play. Now, I hear you. I understand what you're saying. You know what? Poor Mike T takes a beating every single week by being a general manager. This is not the time of year to have this. In fact, you know what you would like to do? You would like to start punching people in response, right? Let me show you Micah Parsons. This is Micah Parsons working out with A.J. Graham Jr. So this is their...
That's me in Darlington next week.
This is just a workout they do. Just punch each other. This is what Micah Parsons is doing instead of going to Cowboys voluntary minicamp. Neek, what is this?
I don't know when that's going to come in handy on the field, but I mean, whatever training Micah Parsons is doing, maybe other defensive players should do it. Not me. Retired defensive players never doing anything close to anything like that. That looks absurd. It's a professional puncher punching you.
Yeah, I like to take Jeff and maybe him and I can do that.
I've been punched twice in my life, and it required three surgeries to fix, okay? I'm not taking any more punches in this life.
Oh, gosh.
That's a good spot to leave it. As we continue, the King, the Joker, here they go again. Stephen A. is going to tell you why this might actually be the biggest series of LeBron's career. No kidding. You'll hear why. Plus, is Joel Embiid healthy enough to lead the Sixers past Jalen Brunson and the Knicks? Which team is feeling the most pressure to win the series? We're talking about it next. This is Get Up on ESPN.
Now, let's talk about the play of the week. The pressure to follow up Hypnotic and Cognac, weighing heavy on the team. Hypnotic was in the cup, blue and ready for the play. And boom! Añejo Tequila came in with a smooth assist to Hypnotic's tropical fruit finish. Shaken, strained, poured. It was green and good! The playmaking splash shifted the tempo. Another great cocktail from the Hypnotic team. Every season is Hypnotic and Tequila season. Hypnotic Liqueur, Bardstown, Kentucky, 17% alcohol by volume. Hypnotic reminds you to think wisely, drink wisely.
We all know breakfast is an important part of your day, but sometimes when you're traveling for business, you end up staying at a hotel that doesn't offer any. You know what happens? You grab a cup of coffee and skip the meal entirely. We've all been there. But if you book a room at La Quinta by Wyndham, you can enjoy their free Bright Side breakfast featuring delicious baked goods, fruit, eggs, yogurt, and waffles. And really, who doesn't want to start their day with a fresh hot waffle? Tonight, La Quinta, tomorrow you shine. Book direct at LQ.com.
10 seconds on the clock. How many things can you name that are always growing? Your relationships, your skills, your customer base. How about businesses on Shopify? Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/network, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/network now to grow your business. No matter what stage you're in, shopify.com/network.
Bottom of the hour, we're back on Get Up. NBA playoffs start tomorrow. Let's play a game of who you got with Legs and Alan Hahn. Legs, Pacers, Bucks, who you got?
I like the Pacers. And I think even if Giannis was 100%, this was going to be a very tough series for Milwaukee to win. They have been good defensively. This is a very difficult matchup for them. We saw that in the regular season. The pace, the style, the way they spread you out. Indiana's a problem for that particular team, but a limited Giannis or an unavailable Giannis, I really like the Pacers, so I'm going with Indiana to win the series.
Alan, Suns, Timberwolves, round one, who you got?
I've got the Timberwolves, but by a slight margin, what a matchup this is going to be. Ant-Man, his chance to jump off the diving board and into the superstar pool, going up against Bradley Beal. They got some history there. But for the Timberwolves and their great defense, who's going to guard Kevin Durant? And for the Suns, can they close games? Because their offense is a disaster late in games.
Legs, let's go to the Mavs and the Clippers. This is a fascinating series. You have been riding Dallas for a while. Do you think they win?
Absolutely. I'm not going to bail on them now. And here's why. Listen, they've been incredible since the acquisitions. Finished the season, probably playing better basketball than any team in the NBA. This is the best team around Luka Doncic going into the postseason, and he's already taken a team to the conference finals. I really like Dallas in this series, particularly since we haven't seen Kawhi in a while. I'm going to need to see what he looks like early.
All right, and finally, Han, maybe the glamour series of round one. Lakers, Nuggets, who do we like?
We like the Nuggets. They have the matchup here. Now, we talk a lot about Jokic and Anthony Davis, but really, we don't talk enough about Jamal Murray. In the playoff series last year in the Western Conference Finals, averaged 32 points a game. And also during the regular season this year in matchups against the Lakers, 23-9 on 50-40 shooting. Do they have an answer for him if they're going to spend so much time focusing on trying to stop Jokic?
Yeah, Jamal Murray's been a terrific player for a while, but it was last year's postseason was his coming out party as a true NBA star. In the meantime, it is a rematch, as Alan mentioned, of last year's conference final, but LeBron isn't thinking about it that way.
How much have you been looking forward to this rematch after what happened last year?
I think you're putting a little bit too much more emphasis on it. This is our first round matchup, and I mean, we look forward to the postseason, but I haven't been like looking forward to the rematch.
What's your reaction? You guys seem to both be...
Yeah, I don't know. I think
we need a BS translator on this one because I'm not buying it.
Well, and a lot of people are jumping on him because they think that he's like kind of deflecting and like afraid to like poke the bear a little bit. I just didn't interpret it that way. I think he's right. They weren't thinking about the Denver Nuggets this whole time. They were thinking about surviving. Think about what they went through the last couple of weeks. Are we going to survive the play-in? They didn't know who they were going to play. Denver, as it turns out, ended up in their lap. They didn't even know that going into the last two games, who they were going to play if they survived the play-in. So it almost seems like, wow, you must have been dwelling about Denver all year because you want this series. And that's how I interpreted the question. And I think LeBron was kind of like, well, not really. I mean, yeah, let's go. We're going to play him. This is our matchup. But it's not like I sit around and I got Jokic in my head all day. I believe him on that.
This is classic LeBron playbook. I think he's just trying to tamp down any of the like the talk before the series and just try to like not turn it into a back and forth where something becomes bulletin board material. But I think he's been thinking about Denver all season. They can't beat him. And he knows if he wants to get to where he wants to get, which is another ring, going to have to go through Denver at some point. It's going to be in the first round.
I say this. If he's trying to tamp down the talk, then he would not have been happy watching First Take yesterday because Stephen A. took the talk to a whole nother level. Listen to what he said about what another championship run could mean for LeBron James.
Michael Jordan is the greatest player of all time. If LeBron James beats Denver and marches forward to ultimately win another chip, I don't know how strong my argument is going to be on behalf of Jordan moving forward.
So, look, this is a debate that has – why are you making that face?
Because, I mean, how many parlays are we going to come up with to make this argument go away? It's never going away, ever. This has taken over. Is the DH good for baseball? Because, obviously, the DH is. Everybody has it now. This is the all-time greatest sports debate that's never going away. Honestly, I thought that the bubble championship was supposed to do this because it's three different franchises that he was the main player to win a championship. I thought that was supposed to end the debate, but it clearly hasn't. What more has to be done for LeBron James to win this battle? I just think this is one that's going to stand the test of time. You're on one side or the other. Nothing more that he can do, aside from, of course, coming to New York and winning a championship with the Knicks,
yeah,
could change my mind.
That, you personally, and I don't know, something like 8 million other people in this city behind us. But here's the one thing I will say for what Stephen A. is saying. Because I do like these debates. I mean, I've sort of made my living in them for the last 30 years. And I will be a Michael guy, I think, to the day I die, based upon the history that I have with
him. As will I.
That said, yep, the best argument LeBron has, yeah, is the stuff he's still doing. LeBron James is by far the greatest 39-year-old basketball player that's ever lived. It isn't even close. In the last year and change, he has become the all-time leading scorer in NBA history. That's not nothing. It's definitely something. And right now, the world views Nikola Jokic as unbeatable. He's sort of Drago. He's the guy no one can take out, and they are a prohibitive favorite, right? If LeBron knocks this guy off in the next couple of weeks at this age and goes on to win a championship in the league, I think it does influence the conversation. It is a huge factor in the discussion.
So there's a fence in the middle of this yard, and there's people in two different yards,
right,
to your point. Mm-hmm. It almost is reflective of the current like political climate that we face now, right? You're one side or the other, and there's a fence. Here's what I will say. I agree with Stephen A. in this regard. It's the only thing that LeBron could still do to grab a little bit more and move people closer to the fence.
More people on
the fence. But they're still going to be leaning on the fence.
That's fair. That's fair.
It moves it closer, but it never eliminates.
You're right, and I agree. I think people are so entrenched in his mindset. I agree, but think about what we're talking here. It would mean beating a guy that's about to win his third MVP,
right,
and the reigning champ. Then going up against potentially Kevin Durant and beating that team, or a young emerging superstar in Anthony Edwards. Then potentially either Luka and Kyrie or four Hall of Famers on the Clippers. And then the Boston Celtics, who had 64 wins in this year. That playoff run, if he's at this age, if he's able to do that and be Finals MVP in the process, a lot of those people are going to be right up.
Well, that's what I'm saying.
And maybe some will jump. But I think for the most part, people are so dug in their ideology on this topic, I don't know that ultimately you're going to get people to go to the other side.
But people who are reasonable about it will say that Michael's story has been written. LeBron's story has not been written. There are chapters left to be written. This would be an unbelievable one.
Very true.
Now, look, I'm on record as saying I don't think they can beat this team. I don't think anybody beats this team.
Right.
And that would be all the more reason in my book why it would be an astonishing win for them to do.
I just made a hell of a leap. I had them running through those four series.
Right.
They might go home in five games.
But think about it.
Would suggest they win one of them.
It's taken 20 years, and he's still chasing it. Like 20 years, and he's still chasing it.
Well,
right? It shows you just the impact that Michael Jordan had in much lesser time.
Well, he's the greatest player of all time, and let's see if LeBron can put himself in that discussion. That's out west. Let's go east and do a little more or less, which is presented by ESPN Bet. Knicks, Sixers, Lakers.
If I give you the number 28.5 points for Joel Embiid in game one, you going more or less?
I'm going to go less based on what I saw the other night. Not only did he look limited to me, he certainly looked gassed. I also think you're talking about now a Knicks team that physically understands what he's dealing with and what they're going to come at him with. Based on what I saw the other night, very difficult for me to think he's going to have a 30-point game.
Han, Jalen Brunson, 30.5 points game one, more or less.
I'm going to go more because he averaged over 30 a game since January 1st when they had all kinds of injuries and he had to carry this team. He's going to have to score over 30 for this Knicks team to win this series. But keep in mind, against the Sixers in the regular season, they were very good defensively against him. He only averaged 22 a game against them. So Nick Nurse will have a defense ready to slow him down.
And let me give you one more. Legs, 5.5 games played in the series is the number. Sixers-Knicks, more or less?
Oh, more for sure. I think this could go 7 games. And I'm not going to be shocked if Philadelphia wins the series because it's going to come down to what I see out of Joel Embiid early. And if Joel Embiid, as it turns out, The game against Miami was more about conditioning than it was his leg, then he's going to get better as the series goes. I'm not convinced of that, which is why I think the Knicks are going to win the series, but I think this thing could go the distance with a game 7 in Madison Square Garden.
With that thought in mind, put the picks up, Cindy, if you can, on Knicks. Legler taking the Knicks is going to make you very popular in Philadelphia.
Great. Can't wait to get home.
It's going to be delightful
to
for you.
Jumping on Sports Talk Radio in Philly.
It's going to be great.
Allen had no choice whatsoever to make that pick.
Contractually obligated.
What is, because we could talk all we want about Embiid and everything else, but I just am looking at the notes here. Who's the X factor in this series?
Maxi, come on. It's got to be. Look, why are we not allowed to put additional expectations on a guy that's an all-star? I love him. Young all-star, 350-point games this year. He averaged 27 points a game. So we're looking at him, and I think sometimes the tendency is to, when it's a young player, oh, come on, you know, what can you really expect? He's young. No, forget that.
Come on, step up.
The guys arrived, and I look at it like this. He's got a chance to grab some real estate in terms of how he's viewed in the league.
Yep.
If Embiid is limited, Brunson does his thing, which I think he will be. Tyrese Maxey has an opportunity to make a serious statement in this series about what kind of co-star he is. And he's got to be certainly better than he was against Miami. He didn't play great. Wasn't terrible. Didn't play great. He's got to be much better than that in this series for them to have a chance. And the opportunities will be there. There's only so much attention you can give him if you're doing what you have to against Embiid, right, Al?
Yeah, and also, by the way, keep in mind, it's also payday for him at the end of the season. So you have yourself a great playoff series. It only just brings that number up. But he has certainly earned already the idea that he is the future at that position that they've been looking for. But that he's an X factor on the Knicks side of things to me. It's OG Anunoby. OG Anunoby was acquired for everything that he has brought to this team, which is obviously a lot of winning when he's in the lineup, but the defense and the disruption that he can bring. He will not be a primary defender on Maxi, but he will help out a lot, and that's going to be key for the Knicks in this series.
To me, the answer is pretty simple. What exactly is Joel Embiid going to be capable of doing?
That's what the whole thing comes down to.
When I woke up Wednesday morning, I thought Philadelphia would win this series. When I went to sleep Wednesday night, I didn't think that anymore.
Greeny, I was out here with you. How long ago did I say that they represent the greatest threat to the Boston Celtics in the Eastern Conference? Mm-hmm. I thought this team was going to, especially when they fell out of the Celtics bracket, I said, this team's going to the conference finals. And then I saw Joel Embiid against Miami, and my eyes can't unsee that. He was limited physically in his movement and his effect defensively as much as anything.
Would you argue that the longer this series goes, the worse it is for him because of the grind that he's going to have to endure in this series?
Or the better because he gets
plays way into
better.
Shape.
It's not rust. So it's either, do you buy into what we saw, more conditioning or more physical limitations with his knee? If you buy the knee, it's going to get worse as the series goes on. If you think it's conditioning, he'll get stronger as the series goes on. It's that simple.
We'll start finding out tomorrow. Meanwhile, tonight, couple more decisions left to be made in the NBA on ESPN and the ESPN app. The play-in tournament rolls on. The 8th place game in the East is the Bulls taking on the Heat. Coverage starts 6:30 Eastern with NBA Countdown. Winner will face the Celtics in round one beginning Sunday. Coming up, is New York about to make a giant mistake? Is it time to replace Daniel Jones? You'll hear what their general manager had to say. Could they be a candidate to trade up for a quarterback? And do not miss the conversation. Our second hour today will feature the Hall of Famer from NFL Network. Our friend Kurt Warner will join us to talk about the NFL draft and so much more. That's this morning. Get up on ESPN.
Hey. Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPNpods. That's amazon.com/ESPNpods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sportsbook bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
I don't know the question you're trying to ask.
Be better tomorrow.
I'm not answering that. That's a clown question, bro.
Next.
What's the question?
Next.
What's the question?
What else do you want to know?
Next question.
Next question.
Your next question.
Next question.
Next question.
Next question.
Next question. That's a BS question, man.
Answer my question! The question, jerk!
Here we go. It is time once again for Answer the Question. I will pose a series of hard-hitting, provocative questions to Dominique Foxworth, and whether he's ready to or not, he must answer them. Here we go. Neek, first question. Who is the best player in the 2024 NFL Draft?
Oh, this is easy. It's Marvin Harrison Jr. I think it's quite clear what we saw him do a few years ago against Georgia in the playoffs, that he was amazing. And we saw him put up crazy numbers last year that were close to the numbers that he put up the year before when he had C.J. Stroud at quarterback. And no disrespect to McCord, but he's no C.J. Stroud. And Marvin Harrison still dominated. He is going to be an instant impact player. It's going to change the complexion of a team going forward.
Maserati Marv, and that's a very bad Gus imitation. Okay, next question.
Oh, it was fun.
Should J.J. McCarthy be the third quarterback taken in this draft?
I don't think he should be. He might end up being that because I think he's a very attractive quarterback for offensive-minded coaches. However, I think what he's done in college has it gives you no reason to move on from him, but it's not as outstanding as some of the other quarterbacks that we've seen and already play in college football a lot better than he has. So maybe the upside is really high for him. He may turn out to be the best quarterback in this draft. I think it's doubtful, but given what he's done so far, I don't see him deserving to go over May, Daniels, or obviously Caleb.
Yeah, Caleb Williams at one seems to be the only lock at this point. The rest of it is a question. And so that brings us to the New York Giants. Do you believe they currently sit at six, should draft a quarterback in the first round?
I don't think so. I mean, I understand that you need a quarterback, and this has kind of been my hobby horse for quite some time, is just because you need a quarterback doesn't mean you should draft a quarterback. We've seen consistently, the one thing that we have seen since the change in like the salary structure for rookies is that the best quarterbacks are in football are quarterbacks that land on teams that are in good situations, and they develop into that. I can only think of three times since Cam Newton that we've seen a quarterback just walk in the league and change his team, and it may not matter where he ends up. That's Cam Newton, it's Joe Burrow, and it's C.J. Stroud last year. Every other quarterback, all the best quarterbacks in football, ended up on teams that were very good, which gave them time, I think, to develop into the great quarterbacks that we have in football right now.
It's an interesting way of looking at it. Now, let's talk about the Giants again, because at six, it feels like something of a crossroads for the first round. Their general manager, Joe Shane, was saying he does not feel pressure to address the quarterback position at all costs.
Do you still feel like you need or want to add a quarterback in the draft?
I don't think so. I think with, you know, Drew's experience, you know, he started games and played, and, you know, Daniel's experience, and then what Tommy did last year, another year in the system. Tommy's come a long way. So, no, I think we could go in with the season with the three that we have, and, you know, I'd be comfortable with that.
To be clear, the Drew he's talking about is Drew Locke, and the Tommy he's talking about is Tommy DeVito. Jeff Darlington, what did you think of that?
Well, I want to be careful because I can't just listen to Adam Peters and believe him and then listen to Joe Shane and say, oh, that's a smokescreen. Like, I don't think we can just pick and choose, but I'm going to a little bit because I remember when Joe Shane was with Brandon Bean in Buffalo and those two were attached at the hip. And Joe Shane, I remember back then, had so much conviction in Josh Allen when they moved from number 12 to number 7 with the Bills to pick him. And I know it might seem like revisionist history that that was such an obvious and easy choice, but it wasn't at the time. But Shane and Bean had a ton of conviction in that decision. If Joe Shane at the 6th spot has that level of conviction in a quarterback in this draft, I wholeheartedly believe that he will in fact draft him regardless of what he says.
So one question is, do they take him at 6? The other question is, do they need to move up to take one? And the third factor that I would put into this, and Mike T, this just jumped into my head, but I'll ask you because of your intimate knowledge of the surroundings and of or the circumstances and of the person involved. But in the extraordinary story that Seth Wickersham and Don Van Natta and those guys did the other day, I mean, Bill Belichick is lurking here, right?
Yep.
I mean, the shadow of Belichick kind of looms a little bit over the Giants here. How do you, does that, in your mind, just knowing the dynamics, does that make it more or less likely that they would do something drastic at the quarterback position?
Well, it should, they should anyway. They need a quarterback. And when you're running a team in New York, Greeny, it's Bill Belichick today. It's somebody else tomorrow. There's always going to be big shouts. I do think Bill Belichick could be back in the NFC East because of, you know, the obviously connections between Philly, the Giants, and Jerry Jones in Dallas. But hard stop, Daniel Jones obviously has some ability, Greeny. He can't stay on the field. He missed 23 games. He's been sacked like 179 times. So they need a quarterback. Again, this is lying season by all GMs. I know that. So to me, I go up and get J.J. McCarthy if I'm the Giants. I don't. We know Minnesota needs a quarterback. They have 11 and 23. And the way you do that, Greeny, is you get on the phone with Arizona at 4, and you don't get off the phone without a deal being done.
Nick, why does this bother you? I can see you shaking your head.
Because we don't know how good Daniel Jones could have been, but we do know that even the owner of the Giants admits that he didn't get a fair chance and that partially his opportunity was ruined by the fact that they didn't properly support him. He can't stay healthy. Part of the reason he can't stay healthy is because you can't protect him. So let's not do it again. Don't ruin another quarterback and also set your franchise back for 3 to 5 more years because you are not ready to receive a quarterback. Prepare this team to receive a quarterback and then get a quarterback. It doesn't make sense to me. We've seen it over and over and over again. All these quarterbacks aren't bad. They end up in bad situations and then they get ruined. And all the great quarterbacks in football were not born to be the best quarterbacks in football. They've learned and developed in situations where they had proper support. Don't make the same mistake again.
That's probably fair. You know, on this Friday morning, one of the goals, maybe our most important goal here on this program, is to bring a smile to your face. And with that thought in mind, I present Ryan Clark playing golf. Our beloved RC. I've known RC for however long, 10 years, 12 years. He's one of my favorite people that ever lived. I finally found something I'm better at than him. I didn't know it existed. I didn't know this was a possibility.
Wow.
Golf, not his thing.
I totally agree. Now I'd love to get him out there because I feel like it's one thing I could beat him at.
Anyone? Darlington, you're a golfer. What do you see in the swing here?
I it's shocking to me because the hand-eye coordination, the muscle memory, all those things should be there for Ryan Clark, an elite athlete, and that is quite possibly the most awkward and uncoordinated thing I've ever seen in my life.
He may give Charles Barkley some
I will not stand for all this hate. Stop
all right,
it.
Very
bunch
good.
Of,
coming
bunch
up.
Of haters.
Sudden intrigue at the top of the draft. Less than a week away, Washington creating chaos. Kurt Warner will join our conversation. Next. Oh, where is he? Show me Kurt. Show me the Hall of Famer. Oh, he's ready to go. Kurt Warner next.